Hey, beautiful people, and welcome to the Tell Me a Story podcast. I'm your host, Eric Bell. If this is your first time on the show, this is the kind of podcast where I have different people coming on and they tell me their favorite story. And buckle up, because these stories range. From the relatable to the intense to the traumatic, there is something for everyone here. And I know you guys will love these stories as much as I enjoyed hearing them myself. Today I had Devin from StartPlaying.Games. If you guys are interested in playing D&D, or you're looking for a DM to play for the first time, or you just really want to hop on a game, that's where you want to go. StartPlaying.Games. It's a great site to find any type of tabletop game to play while you're stuck at home. Well, Devin comes on my show and he tells me a story about his dad doing a badass thing. And you know what? I'm not going to spoil anything, so please enjoy.
But other than that, everything been going good. Everything,
yeah, man. Everything's been. I bought a new couch. I feel very adult.
Those are huge moves, man.
It was a sectional, so it's like a king size couch.
Ooh, looking fancy.
I know. I feel very fancy. We have a king size bed. That was like the first fancy thing we had together, me and my partner. And now that we have a king size couch, we're like, all right, we've done it. Like, we've won.
that's the mark. That's
king size everything. King size candy bars, king size couch, king size bed.
Now, you're in San Fran, right?
Yeah.
San Francisco? So, was it like, are you in like one of those difficult to move? Was it hard to move the king size couch up into your...
No, it was actually pretty easy. It was funny though, because we paid IKEA to deliver it, and then they delivered it, but they just like delivered it to the ground floor. They like wouldn't. They're like, you know, I've had stuff delivered by IKEA, and they like carry it up to your apartment. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the guy. I was like, hey, so I can't move this up by myself. And he's like, all right, I'll help you with the couch. You have to carry up the rest of the boxes yourself. Then I was like, okay. And I still tipped the guy $20 just for helping me. But I was like, I don't know. Like I was like, there's probably a reason he can't do this. I don't know. It was pretty easy to like, our apartment is nice, man. Like right now, like apartments are so cheap in San Francisco compared to what they used to be.
Oh,
like,
I figured you guys are just constantly on the rise.
It used to, but the pandemic has made it so like we were paying $2,400 for a one bedroom. Which is on the cheaper end of one bedrooms in San Francisco, but still expensive. We moved after the pandemic kind of started, and we found a place for $2,600 that's two bedrooms and comes with a parking spot in a garage.
Mm. You want me to break your heart?
Well, oh, yeah. Go ahead.
So ever since I moved out of LA, I moved to Vegas. I'm currently in a four bedroom, 2.5 bath house.
Damn.
I pay $1,400.
Damn it.
It's my only little joy I get to have.
It's so funny when you're in San Francisco, like, yeah, I can't believe I'm getting this. And someone's like, yo, like, I could own like a fleet of houses for that cost.
Dude, the cost of living is just almost, it's just astronomically high, you know? Like, because I know the people who heard, see, I'm from LA, so when you said $2,400 for a one bedroom, that's expensive for LA, even for LA, in a nice part of LA.
Yeah.
So like, you guys got us beat on that, but I know, you know, from the times I've been out there, I know that's generally the cost.
Yeah.
You know, up to that, like $2,000 is the ballpark,
right?
You know, and so it's just, but why? And then the question is why?
Yeah.
Why is this so expensive?
It's just so many people moved here and they're like, well, we can charge so much. And now that people are leaving, they're like, oh no. And I'm like, I don't feel bad for you at all, landlords.
I don't, yeah. It's, yeah, I imagine a lot of, because a lot of Californians are, you know, they're moving to Nevada and Texas.
Yeah.
Like,
Nevada and Texas are not stoked about it. But you know,
oh, no, they hate us.
You know what's funny though? When you move to California from somewhere else, we're like, oh, welcome. Do you want to try a burrito? This is California. It's beautiful. Ah, I should show you Tahoe. But like anytime a Californian moves to any other state, like, fuck you. We want you dead. Yeah. Like,
we don't want none of them California thoughts.
But we're like so stoked to meet you when you move here. Like, oh, welcome to California, man. All right.
They feel like someone from California as a representation of all the things they would vote against.
Yeah.
You know,
which is true for a lot of the times.
Yeah. I mean, like, I would love to say I would love to just tell someone from Texas, like, you are being rude and you're over worrying about a problem that's not going to happen. Yeah. And now I live in Nevada that used to always go red, and it didn't. It hasn't been going red for the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah. It's like, he's like, yes, I moved from California to here because I would like to take your guns. That's why I moved. That was my goal.
I just want them all. I want them all. No, I just want cheaper rent. I just
right? I just heard you guys had really good Tex-Mex, and so.
But the one thing that sucks so bad when, like, just going from going from California to Nevada, mm-hmm. the food sucks out here. I am so spoiled. I am so, like, any major city in California has the one privilege of being a massive melting pot. So if you want the best pick the culture, you can go and get it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's going to be relatively close by and not unreasonably priced.
Yeah.
You know, if anything, it's going to be one of the cheaper spots. You
right.
know,
yeah.
That you'll eat from. Man, I really feel like Indian food. Bro, go right on
that. Yeah, right. It's like, I know this Indian food street truck that is going to blow your mind. And you're like, oh, all right, cool.
Yeah. But in Nevada, Las Vegas, it's franchised. It's all franchise out here.
Yeah.
And it's just, ugh.
I know, just like a lot of TGIFs.
A lot of restaurants in TGI, you know, you got Fridays, you got BJ's, you got
But I'll tell you what, BJ's is so fucking good.
They're good.
That's, I mean,
they're,
like,
these are good franchises.
They're good franchise. You know, those avocado egg rolls. Oh.
Bro. It's just interesting. I'm one of those, and I believe you as well. Like, we during this pandemic, we actually came out financially better.
Yeah.
From it, which, that's a, like, for me as a comic, that's impossible. Most comics aren't doing good. I just was able to get a job that let me work from home.
Yeah.
And so, like, I end up being able to, you know, spend a little bit more money than I generally would have. Yeah. And, man, deliveries.
Oh
my God. I don't even want to look at my bank account as far as what I've been paying DoorDash and Uber Eats.
Oh yeah.
Cause there's a BJ's down the street from me. So I have had, I have ordered the bread bowls. And I was like, how's a bread bowl going? And it's nice and piping hot. I don't know how they do it. But it's like, I've gotten the avocado egg rolls, and that I've been in there so many times. I spend so much money. I need to stop.
Dude, I'll tell you this. I think there's one thing that just delivery can't do. And that is French fries. French fries are never good when they get delivered.
No.
You know?
No, they're always
soggy.
They never are. They're always lacking. They're always lacking, with the exception of, like, maybe McDonald's. But McDonald's is barely fries.
Yeah.
You know? There's so much else going on inside of McDonald's food that it kind of just survives everywhere. But, yeah, like, good fries. Yeah, I've ordered good restaurant fries. And when they get there, they're just a little, because they make that first, you know, so they scoop that in, they put that off to the side, and so that's already in a bag God knows how long before the guy who picks it up, you know.
Yeah, right? Just sits there, because it's so fast.
Yeah. But I'm hungry. All right.
I know, now that we've spent enough time talking about food.
But, all right, man. Devin, man, thank you for coming on Tell Me a Story.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
And, like, haven't talked to you since you guys asked me to be a part of StarPlane.games, which I gotta say, it's you guys have a pretty chill community. And, like, I was, when I signed up, and I was like, ain't nobody gonna request to be on my, you know, like, it's gonna be a minute. I had to turn people away, like, quick.
Oh!
I was like, whoa, that's a lot of requests in a short span of time. I was like, that's awesome. That's awesome. I got to do other dates. So, like, it's a great forum that you guys got.
Oh, I love that. It's someone said, like, yeah, it was kind of crazy as a professional GM, like listening to game, and then it was like a fire hose. Mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, that's great.
I mean, it makes sense, you know. Like, I think about, like, if I did not have, if I was still living in LA, and all, like, I wouldn't be the only I wasn't playing D&D when I was in LA because the group kind of disbanded. So I didn't have a group that I was actively playing when the pandemic, I wouldn't have had a group that I was actively playing when the pandemic happened. So I would have just been not playing D&D. And so I can only imagine how many people are like, oh yeah, boom. Oh, I'm a player. Boom. I'm down. You know?
Yeah.
Easy enough to find, you know, a group out here. Luckily I had a few, I was already in a group, so we were able to just transfer to virtual, but.
Right. And that's a really hard switch to do.
It takes away a little bit. It takes away a little bit of it when you start, you know, one, like you start in person and then you go over to virtual. There's a lot that you like, especially if you're constantly doing back and forth with other players.
Yeah.
You're so used to sharing that occupied space, but you know, it takes a few games, but then you get into it.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's just a learning curve. And mm-hmm. you get used to it. And I'm really curious to see what it's going to be like when all me and my players are back in the same room. I'm excited for that.
Oh, yeah. I'm just patiently waiting for those vaccines to actually get around.
Get to me, vaccines.
I just like really right now, only thing I'm waiting on my parents. That's all, like, at this point, you know, it's like once my parents are vaccinated,
right?
I'm off to the race. I'm like... Ah, those are the only people I was worried about. You know?
Yeah, right. And then to actually see them, give them a hug.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's like I see them all the time because they live super close to me and they watch my son when he's in virtual learning.
Yeah.
But that has because I see them so often, that's why I don't go anywhere. You know.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I ain't about to get my mom, you know,
right?
COVID.
Yeah.
But that means I'm waiting on the vaccines to get around to my parents so I can get back to life. It's one thing if, like, I know I'm going to be waiting a while.
Yeah.
Because Nevada is slow.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we saw everyone counting ballots. We know Nevada's not fast.
Oh my God. We were like, come on. God, I remember when everyone was during that time and everyone was looking at Nevada. It's like, so who's the president? I'm like, give us a second. Right. We just got to count up, you know it. It's 6 o'clock, guys. We got to go home. You know, you can pay them overtime. I'm okay with you paying them overtime. No, stop. Shutting down shop. Leaving.
You know, it's funny, too, because, like, I feel like when it also comes to, like, the phases of the vaccine, like, I had to fill out my form for San Francisco's rollout. And they're like, all right, mm-hmm. answer these, like, 10 questions. And we'll tell you, you know, like, then we'll let you know when you're viable for it. And, like, I was no to everything. I was like, I know I'm, like, the last wave. Like, there's nothing... Mm-hmm. There's no reason that I have to have it before anyone else.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. I was filling out, they have one out here too, filling out that questionnaire. Are you over the age of 65? No. Do you have a preconceived? No. Are you a frontline essential worker? No. Essential? No. If you stop working right now, would anyone give a fuck? I can't say. Hey, you know, this is just always it's one of those reminders. I'm like, yeah, I'm an entertainer. But that's what I'm over here for, Devin. Tell me a story. Do you have a story for me, man?
Yeah. So I spent the week just like anxiety, like just realizing, fuck, I don't have any good stories. I'm not a very interesting person. Cause you know, like when you have to think of one, then you can't think of anything. Exactly. So I was like, okay, well, what about the, you know, the time like someone tried to kill me? It's like, well, that's interesting, but that's a little too dark. And I was like, okay, well, what about the you know, the time when, you know, I ran this like kind of like underground like art community? And I was like, yeah, that's okay, but that's a little too braggy. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna tell one of my favorite stories, but it's not about me; it's about my dad.
Cool.
My dad was, if you looked at us, okay, if you look at the photos of me and my dad, you're like, who, what is the relationship here? My dad is not my biological father, but he raised me. So he's my dad. Mm-hmm. You've seen me. I'm 6'3", very white with a big old beard. my dad is 5'6", and he's Mexican heritage. So if people see us, they do not get that off off the first look. But since I was a kid, he's been a really important part of my life. I remember what led to me meeting him and my mom and his like second date, sort of, was my dad was a biker. My dad got in fights. My dad was kind of a loose chain. He was in the Marines during Vietnam. He won't take no shit from no one is kind of his thing. Now he's definitely calmed down a lot since his youth. But what happened is there is a restaurant in my hometown, and it is this Mexican restaurant, and it is two stories, or it's on the second story. It's this kind of patio deck that they have, and everyone goes there. It's a really, really good Mexican restaurant. It's been there for years, you know, a few decades. My father was there because that's where he would go and hang out with his buddy and have a drink. And these guys came in who were also like bikers. And he wasn't a part of like any kind of biker gang, but these guys definitely had, you know, some vests on, which is to say that they are part of like a, you know, biker organization. These guys came in and got fucking rip roaring drunk, and they started just screwing with everyone in there. One of the guys was just going around and he was just like taking tips off of tables. And the entire staff got kind of freaked out because like these guys seemed very threatening. And then he goes up and he just takes the chips from my dad's table and starts to like eat from them. And my father says to him, like, "What do you think you're doing?" And the guy's like, "Shut up." And then he, you know, he calls him a couple racial slurs. And my dad's like, "Okay, come outside." My dad walks out on the deck, and this guy's really drunk. But my dad walks out on the deck, and in there's two parts of the story. This is the part that he told me. He steps to the side of the door after he walks out, and the guy walks out right past him, not seen. And my dad just throws the dude off the second story balcony. just and like everyone is just stunned that this has happened, but he just grabs the guy by the neck of his vest with one arm and just throws him over. And his friend runs downstairs to go get him. They end up like going off to the hospital, and my dad gets his meal comped and they thank him. So I've heard this story forever, and you know, there's definitely this thing as you get older, like, am I being big fished? And if you don't know the term, it's just because, you know, your dad tells you stories, and you know, all dads embellish a little. So what led to happening next was my parents had a date. They met with some friends together once, and my dad saw her, and he's like, "Oh, what's her deal?" And they had their first date at the same restaurant. And it was like 3 weeks later. And so my dad is in there, and he's in there with the same buddy who he had kicked the guy out with. His name is Marv. And so my pops, Johnny and Marv, are sitting in there, and he's like, Marv looks at my dad's like, "Johnny, look who just walked in." And he sees the dude in a cast and some other stuff in with his buddies. And they're just in there just drinking, not like looking for my dad. They're just like, they also come to this restaurant. And so my dad's like, shit. And so he's sitting at a booth. He's not in the bar area, but my dad keeps his sunglasses on while talking with Marv so he can keep an eye on these guys in case they recognize him. Well, Marv's like, "All right, well, I'm going to get out of here. Good luck on your date, I guess." my mother shows up and she sits, and she thinks my dad is the biggest asshole because he won't take off his sunglasses and seems really distracted this entire time.
Oh, man.
And he's like, "Well, this woman, she's going to think I'm like some kind of bar brawler, like, you know, loose cannon if I tell her the truth." So he's just like hiding it from her. So she ends up leaving. She's like, "You know what? No, I don't think this is going to work out." Before they even have food, she just gets up and leaves. He's like, shit. So he's like, I want to make this work. So he calls her up. He's like, "Hey, listen, like, give me another chance." And she's like, "Well, I can't get another babysitter." And I was like two or three at this time. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, it's okay. Well, bring your kid. And she's like, what, on your Harley? And he's like, I have a car. And so he like picks us up and she like reluctantly agrees. And he takes me to this place called Sam's Town. It's no longer there, but it was a cool ass place. It was like arcade, skee ball, pizza. It was kind of like a local Chuck E. Cheese kind of vibe. But it
they
had like beer there. So you could go there just as adults to play games and such. This dude, my soon to be father, gives me a roll of quarters. My mom's a single mother. We're living in like, a tiny apartment. I've never seen a roll of quarters.
That's $10, man. That's $10.
I lost my shit. I was so stoked. And so I was just playing whatever games. He was definitely playing the right role. And then, took us all out to eat. And I had grilled cheese and milkshake. I had the best night ever. And in the car, both my parents tell me that I told them this. I, like, in the car, tired, full, maybe a little almost sick, I said to my mom, well, can he be our dad? And so a couple weeks go by, and they start to see each other. And I remember they soon go to meet, my dad goes to meet my grandfather and my mom's dad. And I remember the first thing I said when we were all coming up, I was like, Grandpa, Grandma, guess who spent the night? This guy. So I don't know what was his biggest proponent, but also like his biggest enemy in that courtship. But so then I get a little older, and I remember hearing the story. My dad told it as I was younger, and I told my friends, and I was like, yeah, but I don't know how much truth it is to it. And so we're at the Hacienda, which is that same restaurant. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting with some friends, and I'm now like, 23 at this time, a little older. And we're just having a beer and eating some chips. And I tell that story. And one of those bartenders looks at me. He's like, hey, sorry, can you say that last part again? I was like, yeah. So like this biker was like harassing him. And my dad said he had thrown him off. He's like, your dad is that guy? And I'm like, wait, what? He's like, this is like a legend here at the Hacienda. Like everyone knows about this story. I was like, wait, what? No shit. He's like, this is like, it's been carried down. And like, there are people that still talk about this story here at the Hacienda staff.
Wow.
And it was that moment where like, you realize that like, your dad is as awesome as you thought he was. You know, there's like this moment when you're an adult where you start to see your parents as humans. And yeah. You start to like realize some of their stories are embellished and things like that. But it was one of those moments where I just realized like, damn, my dad is cool as hell. My dad threw a dude off of a balcony.
That is fucking dope.
I mean, listen, my dad's awesome. He's crazy, but in the best sorts of way, or he's unbelievable in the best kind of way. He used to, he loved to scare me as a kid.
Of course.
And I remember I was like 6 or 7 maybe. And I like went into bed, and like maybe 3 minutes after being in bed, I heard this from underneath it. And I immediately just like covered myself with sheets. And then I hear, and then the bed started to be pushed up from underneath. So I just start running. Right. I just jump out of the bed and just start running. And I feel someone grab my foot and start to pull me underneath the bed. And my dad's like gum biting me, where he has like his lips over his teeth. But you can just feel like a mouth biting at your like leg. I'm screaming, crying. My mom comes in and turns and is like, trying to get out from underneath there. And he's just in tears laughing. But some people, isn't that like little trauma-esque? It's like, well, listen, I don't believe there's ever a monster under my bed now. I just know it's my father.
Is it like, here's the thing. That's perfect. that I too had a father who delighted in terrifying me. He proceeded to show me this. I guess when I got to the ripe age of I too fucking young, or like seven. Like, you never saw The Exorcist? Hold on, let's just click on. You never saw that? He showed me every horror movie in the book, and then we'll proceed to just go into my bedroom in the middle of the night and shake me just so I can freak the fuck out. And there's always, there's something to be said about fathers who want to scare the crap out of their sons.
Yeah, I don't know what it is,
but it's awesome.
It's like, I know that my partner is like very against that. If when we have a kid, me torturing them with scaring them, but man, like I don't look back at any of those memories of my dad scaring me negatively.
let me tell you something, man. Let me tell you something. When if you and your partner decide to, you know, have a child, listen to me, man. Don't give a fuck what your partner thinks on this. This is you, you have an obligation as a father. That means you care.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's like, I thought, like, my kid's fucked. My kid's totally fucked because his mother is just as bad.
Oh!
This is 100% true story. He was maybe three at the time.
Yeah.
Three, four. So he's at the part where he's actually having conversations with you.
He's like in the cool part.
Yeah. That's great. Oh, awesome period. He was early three, so he didn't want to put on his socks and shoes. So
okay, well, he's asking for it then.
Yeah, I mean that's just what it is. And so my wife, she says, well, you know, Noel, you have to put on your socks and shoes or your feet are going to fall off. And he's like, No, feet don't fall off. Oh, this woman takes her phone and Googles toddlers with no feet. And then proceeds to show him the photos and say, see, they didn't put on their socks and shoes.
God. That is, oh, so now you guys are trying to one-up each other, I assume.
Yeah, now I was like, God damn, where do I got to go from here? I got to
I remember my father did this thing once where he waited for me. Well, so he would go to great lengths to scare me. And one of them was he parked his car hidden so I didn't see it when I came home from school, so he wouldn't think that he knows that I wouldn't think that he'd be around. And so, because I would kind of know, like, if I don't see my dad around, like, he's definitely hiding somewhere trying to scare me. And so he would do this so I wouldn't know that he was there. I start like looking around and I say, oh, he's gone. So I now am not, don't have my guard up. I go, and you know, my mom wanted me to get beat up when I was young. So she had all these like really nice dress clothes for me to go to school in, you know, because like everyone's like, oh, look at this kid with a sweater vest. He's cool as hell. Mm-hmm. But I was still young enough that like my mom was like providing me like, this is what you'll wear today. So but you know, we grew up on a little bit of property. So it's like afterwards, like, I want to go climb a tree or something. Mm-hmm. She's like, you gotta change out of your school clothes. So I go and I go to hang it up. Because my dad was, you know, a Marine, so like you can't be messy. You gotta make sure that like everything is in its place. So I go to hang up my shirt, and as I put it on the hook in my closet, a hand just reaches out and grabs me. And it is, of course, my father, who is just scaring the crap out of me.
That's a hero right there,
that's
man.
It's a hero. Yeah. I love him every day.
We had a moment because we got this new house, and now my son, he's five. So kindergartner. He's just a guy.
Yeah.
You know? He's just a kid. And he's like running around the house, and we're upstairs, and I'm telling him, you know, we're just talking, and then he looks up, and I guess it was like the first time, or he's been wanting to ask this question forever. And he's like, Daddy, what's that? And he points up to the little section that would be the, that's the attic.
Yeah.
And oh yeah, that's the attic. That's a whole room at the very top, right between here and our roof. And then he says, "What's in there?" And I paused, and my wife's like, "Don't, don't." I was like, "Sorry, babe. This is the moment. This is." Well, we don't talk about what's up there. That's where your brother is. What?
No, no, you didn't.
I totally went for the Bart Simpson, you know, twin that, you know, was disfigured, and we've hit him in the attic. And my wife's like, "Stop!" But my wife ruined it. She ruined it.
Yeah,
she's like, "Stop it! Stop telling him stories." And I was like, "Yeah, this is why I'm telling you. You got to wait for those moments where they ain't around."
Yeah. You gotta- Your father said what? I love it.
Just so one day I can just give him so many weird complexes.
Yeah. I love this so much. Yeah, it's a you know, I'm very, I hate snakes, right? But my father would put rubber snakes everywhere.
Of course.
And to the point where, so he had this necklace. We grew up on some property up in Northern California. And when he took over the property, it was pretty rough. It was like overgrowth everywhere. The first year he lived there, he killed 27 rattlesnakes. With just a number of devices, like whatever he had with him. But he has a necklace of rattlesnake rattles.
Oh shit.
That was like his like little trophy, which is like, it's kind of badass, but also like, oh man, this is what? And so he has this necklace of rattlesnake rattles. But my mom was like, "If you keep making him think that all the snakes are rubber, one day that's not going to work out." He's like, no, he's just going to learn to realize to be afraid. And so the one time when I actually saw a rattlesnake, I was like, "Oh, this is a rat." And it was like, "Oh, nope, it's moving toward me. Okay, all right, I'm out of here." But I was so calm when it happened because I just thought it was fake.
Yeah. You didn't freak out because you think your dad's just dicking around.
Yeah.
Dude, rattlesnakes ain't no joke, man. Oh, that's crazy to have that much. Woof.
Right?
That's where were you guys living at the time?
Where were we living? We were living in the town called Rescue. Rescue, California.
Oh.
It is... it was named Rescue because the guy who founded it was rescued out of poverty. I think because he like invested in rice futures in like the, you know, early 1800s or something. It's a Pony Express town. There's like a firehouse, a general store, and a post office. That's like it. Mm. You know, kind of a blink and you'll miss it kind of place.
Gotcha.
And it was a great place to grow up, but not a great place to, like, you know, as I got older, I was like, oh, this is not the place for me.
Yeah.
You know.
Population size?
1,500 people.
Oh, my God. That's tiny.
Yeah. It was definitely small.
There's always been this odd romanticism that I've always had because I've only known metropolitan. The only place I grew up in LA, and then I moved to Vegas, which is not as huge of a metropolitan, but it's still a major city.
Yeah.
And so, like, I always think about, oh man, nice small town, and I picture this beautiful greenery and all the people who are smiling and happy to see you, and everything's all good, like those bad sitcoms. And everyone I have met that's from a small town are like, fuck that place. They're like,
that's so true. Here's the thing. I also like have been tricked by the idea of like the small town like escape too, where it's like everyone knows everyone. I think it's because that gosh darn Gilmore Girls made it look so charming. But it's not. It's not that. You know? Maybe for some people, but you know, I feel there's just more that you get exposed to in metropolitan areas, and I think that was pretty important to my like own personal growth, because you know, man, like, let's see, what did I get exposed to in that small time? Not a lot of good things. You know, because me and my father look so different, there's been many times where he was DWB, he got pulled over for a DWB. And they're like, "Who, do you know this man?" And I was like, "No." I was like, "Yes, it's my dad." And like, and then they would pull me aside, put me in the back of the car. I was like, "You can speak. This is a safe place." I'm like, "That's my dad." And like, wow. Like things like that. You're like, "Ah," you know. It's like not. It's a little more common to see, like, you know, fathers of a, you know, a different background with their sons in like metropolitan areas, but like, you know, a sheriff and their deputies, you know, immediately go a different place.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That makes perfect sense. Yeah. Always a fun moment with a police officer right there. Dude. I've had that experience with getting pulled over, and me and the homie, and like we all left work. It was middle of the night and we were eating Jack in the Box in a empty parking lot. You know, Jack in the Box was across the street. Got the Jack in the Box, went across the street, parked. We're all eating. Cop pulls over to us. And immediately goes in the back scene, looks at the girl. She's like, "Hey, you're right over there, sweetheart. You're doing good."
I was like, "Don't talk to my daughter."
She literally has a cheeseburger in her hand. Yeah. I was like,
"Yeah, just what?" Like, also, like, don't I don't know. It bothers me the verbiage they use with that too. "Are you okay, sweetie? Are you, you know, like, you're not her dad.
Yeah. You're not her dad. You're not some great protector. You're just." Really, just you're patronizing her and accusing me of being a rapist. That's all you're doing.
I know. Like, I'm just trying to make sure everyone's being safe. No, you're not.
No, you're not. You're not. Yeah. You're like, you saw three people eating cheeseburgers in a car.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, that's. And on and they saw was a Latino dude driving his son.
Yeah.
But it has to be. Oh, no, no.
Right.
It fits the picture in my head.
Maybe in my entire youth, five times that it happened. Wow. And it's just like, it's like, we should fucking know you guys by now.
I know, right? You're from a small town. Yeah.
You know, but it was cool. My dad made friends with a lot of people. Like, I remember growing up, we were really, really good friends with the corner store owners. And his name was Gil, and my dad was like, really got along well with him. And so I realized like a lot of like the friends that my dad had and the peers he would create were like pretty much the most positive, like cultural exposures I was getting in my youth, you know, meeting people that were like immigrants that, you know, had, you know, come here. And they're like, I remember, you know, at the age of 8, like just going and like eating like actual Indian food from like, you know, people who had immigrated here. And I feel like, there, you know, I think there was one Indian restaurant near us growing up that was like maybe 40 miles away. So, you know, he found ways to like, you know, get other cultures in front of me as a kid, which is like, you know, is really important. But I feel like most small towns, you're not going to get that.
Yeah, it's a stereotype, but it's like that whole idea of small town, small ideas.
Yeah, homogeny.
Yeah. And it's just, well, you don't have enough different types of people, different types of ideas, different types of culture, perspectives are just not going to be, it's not going to be there. It's not going to flourish there.
Exactly.
And, you know, yeah, kind of a thing.
Imagine if small towns were like different city neighborhoods, because then that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. If like I think about some of the neighborhoods I grew up in, and if just that, I have to imagine if just that city block, that small little chunk of the neighborhood I grew up in, if they were completely isolated, I'm like, oh my god, I like that puts more things in perspective. I'm like, oh no, that would be horrible. That would be
right. But also imagine like. Just, you know, off the freeway off ramp, and you drive like 10 miles out to a small town, and it's just Koreatown. You know, you know, or if you drive off and it's like it's just the just downtown LA, that is the small town. It's just there's nothing around it. It's just downtown LA.
Oh god. You know, sometimes I never, sometimes when I think about West Coast, and I know you're from San Francisco, and I know, I'm sure you love your town. I'm from LA. I'm always going to have a love for it. But I do not understand why people fucking want to come here. You know,
yeah.
Like, I don't understand. I was like, I go to San, I remember it was years ago. I was, it was for a gig, and it was the first time I had ever driven into San Francisco. And I'm like, 5 minutes in, I'm like, oh, I fucking hate this place. This is horrible. This is horrible. Everyone wants to hit my car. Everyone. Yeah. It's so condensed and like aggressive driving, and everything was stupid expensive.
So, you know, it's funny too, because like I look at it, I think humans are just bad at driving. Like, I'm all about the self-driving cars when they come out.
I can't wait.
Because we as humans make too many mistakes, but it's everyone drives good. Like, somehow, some way, there became a driving standard for every city of like what to expect. And everyone's like, okay, well, I have to drive like this because the rest of the drivers are like this here. So you have to be aggressive. You know, you have to be used to being like really close, these tight and these weird turns. And then like in LA, you have to be very patient because it takes forever. So there's all these, wherever you live, you end up like adapting the like driving unwritten rules of that location.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
But I like being able to walk a lot of places or bike places in the city because nothing's that far.
Yeah.
See,
that's one thing that San Francisco has. It's a very walkable city. When I was doing the, oh my God. No, the name of the show's are starting to leave me. It was the last show I did. Neck of the Woods.
Yes, it's right down the road from me.
Yeah, so I was doing that show, but I love my mom. Okay, I'm very grateful for my mom, but she wanted to help me when I told her I was going to go to San Francisco, so she paid for my hotel.
Yeah,
which was like very nice, but I was in South San Francisco now. So I'm like, I am nowhere close to where I need to be. And I walked a huge chunk of that city, you know, just so I wasn't constantly hopping buses.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is a very walkable city. It is, you know, sometimes the hills can be pretty beastly.
Oh, but yeah. But that's why everyone here has like pretty good thigh energy.
I mean, yeah, man, you guys got some calves on you. I noticed. And like, but you know, it's like, that's one thing I miss about Long Beach. Long Beach is a very walkable city.
Oh yeah.
If everyone goes there, that's the spot. It reminds me those two cities. When I was in San Fran, I was like, this feels like Long Beach a little bit. I feel that Long Beach soul in there. So, but God, the parking in Long Beach sucks too. I mean, it makes sense. It's just horrible.
Yeah, I mean, parking definitely sucks here in the city. It's definitely gotten a little harder because we now have parklets everywhere for like outdoor eating, which I love. I think it's so cool. Like, you know, now like the bars and restaurants have all like they get a parking spot in front of their business, and they get to make it like an outdoor dining like place.
That's good. That works.
So they've done like build outs with like beautiful lights. Like now everything is like all this al fresco. So I love that, but our parking has reduced a ton because of it. But also people are moving away, so it's like maybe it'll bounce out.
Yeah,
you know, there's like tons of people that like move to San Francisco because they got a job and they're like, I don't like this city. I just get paid a lot, and so I live here. And then they're like, oh, I can now live anywhere else. Great, I'll move to you know. I don't want to say the name of a city and upset someone, but they moved to another city. And now, like, you know, the city's kind of cleaning itself out of people that don't want to be here.
Yeah. And, you know, like, and then it says something about when you have too many people living in one specific space. I mean, that's, you know, that's a very crowded city. And it's just like some parts of LA where it's just, there's just a fuck ton of people here.
Yeah.
And it just makes things a little bit more complicated than it needs to be. So, you know, I think it's definitely for the best. You know, this kind of exodus is happening in California, and you know, hopefully it balances out the numbers a little bit for like the people who are staying. Hopefully they're not going to keep on increasing your rent.
Right. You know, the fingers crossed. I mean, man, rent control is such a thing. Is rent control a thing in LA?
No. Okay. I heard that Santa Monica has, like, if you somehow kept the property, you know,
yeah,
for like your great grandmother's property, then maybe that, but definitely not Long Beach, definitely like Gardena or Inglewood. So majority of LA is not rent controlled at all.
So I think it's anything in San Francisco that's built pre 1979 is rent controlled.
Nice.
So, you know, like you can only go up 1.9% a year. That's like the max they could charge. But then what they do is they fix your building and they pass the costs onto you. So if they paint the building, they could put like 18% of the cost to paint the building onto their tenants.
We call that a nice little loophole.
I know. It's and like the apartment I was living at before this one, before me and my partner moved in together, they had $600 in 1 year in increases to rent just from what they call capital improvements. I was like, I didn't ask for this to get painted.
Oh man, that's just dirty. That's just dirty right there. But anyway, bro, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for letting me talk about my dad.
Man, I love those stories, man. I love it when my guests come and talk about like a relative, and because I've got a few of them and they're always some of my favorite stories. And so I really appreciate that. I'm going to make sure I scare the crap out of my son today in honor of your father.
And yes.
I'm going to just giggle myself to sleep when that happens. But I want people to be able to find you. I want people to know the business you work, you created. So please tell my audience.
You can find me on Twitter just at Devon Chulick, DevonChulick. And I started a company called startplaying.games. That's the URL too. It's all about finding ways to build the communities and play together. So if you've ever want to play Dungeons and Dragons, Pathfinder, Monster of the Week, or any of these amazing tabletop role-playing games, head over to startplaying.games and sign up for your first game and just start playing.
Absolutely. And guys, I'm on there. So if you want to have me as your DM, that's the way to find me.
You got to book fast though, because you are filling up.
Yeah, I gotta do another day. I gotta add another day in there just so I can get it in. But guys, thank you so much. That's Tell Me a Story. Thank y'all. Good night.